We're going to be sharing in Sunday morning in a few minutes about reminding ourselves that we have the mind of Christ. Okay, and I want us to be aware, and we're going to look at this again a little bit more extensively in morning service, but it's not something you get when you are saved. Okay, sometimes they think, oh, we have the mind of Christ. Boop! Okay, now I think like the Lord does. It doesn't work that way, okay? The verse, and we'll look again, we'll break it down a little bit more in morning service, but talking about the fact that the Word of God is the mind of Christ. Okay, right, yeah, and we have access to the Bible. That is why we can have the mind of Christ. Because God does not look at things in this world the same way we look at things in this world. Yeah, hallelujah for that. He is definitely... His thoughts are above our thoughts. His ways are above our ways. Paul says it several times that not with the words that man's wisdom speaketh, but with God's word. And so I wanted to take a minute. There's an interesting, this passage in Jeremiah is pretty neat. It's a little synopsis of the way God purposed his word. Okay, and so we're going to look at this a little bit. Why is it important that we have a Bible? Okay. Yep. But you know what's interesting to me is sometimes in Christianity and in Christian circles, and I'll put that in big air quotes because I'm not necessarily talking about saved Bible believers. When you say Christian, there's a lot of people who will call themselves Christians and not necessarily be a Christian like God's word defines it, being a Christ-like one, being saved, having your sins to get forgiven and having that relationship reestablished with God through Jesus Christ's sacrifice. But we've gotten to the point sometimes where people will say things about the word of God. Well, here's the sense of the passage. Okay, meaning, the general idea that's trying to come across. And God doesn't work in general ideas, okay? God gave us his word specifically, okay? And what God says, he means, all right? And so I want to just take a few minutes and look at this passage. It's an interesting chapter. We're not going to read the whole thing, and that's great because there's a lot of names in there that I don't know how to pronounce. No, we will take the time, read it if you want to. It's a neat story. But I want to point out a few things, this is something that has been taught quite a few times as I've been growing up, but just recently I was listening to a preacher friend share this message again, and it just reminded me it fits so well with what we're talking about. So, let's have a word of prayer, and then we're going to look into this just a little bit and see how God puts up some rules and some ideas on why he put the Word of God together. And I put it this way, what guides us through God's Word? And God gives us some understanding on why he made a Bible to help us to understand what our take on the Bible should be. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your Word. And again, Lord, there's so many times that I say that because we would be lost without it, that, Lord, it gives us direction, it gives us instruction, it gives us comfort. Lord, it tells us, like Diane just mentioned, about our Savior Jesus and helps us to model our life after him. And Lord, I'm so thankful for all those truths. But Lord, it also is not something that the human mind can quantify. And that may be sort of a technical way to say it, but Lord, our thoughts are not your thoughts. Our ways are not your ways. We can't reason out your word in human reasoning. We have to take it for what it says. And so often, Lord, in Christianity, and depending on the approach to different versions of the Bible and the way different speakers will present it, Lord, we want to try to make it something that our human brain can grasp. And Lord, we want to try to put it into human terms. And so, Lord, sometimes that just doesn't work because your Bible, you wrote it, you spoke it, you have a plan for it, and it may not always make sense. Lord, that's why the Word of God reminds us very clearly we need to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing this Bible, the Word of Truth. Lord, it is not something where we should read it casually and it makes sense all the time. It is something that we need to work at, Lord, because having the mind of Christ in us is not something that happens by nature. Naturally, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Lord, it's something you give us to make effort to do. And Lord, we'll, again, expand that out a little bit more, but the Apostle Paul talks about it extensively, that, Lord, it is an effort that needs to be made. And so, Father, I just pray. Now, thank you, Lord, for this chapter in Jeremiah where we see the Word of God being clearly laid out and how you did it. And, Lord, just help us as we take a few pointers from that in understanding that the purpose and the power behind it. So, Father, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Jeremiah chapter 36. The story here, Jeremiah is dictating the Word of God. Okay, and I want to read a few passages here so we can have it. But one of the first things we know, and I want this to be very clear when it comes to the Bible, is God is interested, God wants to give man all of his words. Okay, God wants to give man all of his words. Now, that doesn't mean everything God has ever said we will have recorded somewhere. But it does mean that all the Bible that God wants us to hear, he has given to us. There is nothing that he has not spoken that he wants us to have. He is very careful. He wants to give us his word, all of his word. All right? There is no missing pieces. There's stuff, nothing that needs to be reintroduced or introduced or something that, you know, needs to be dug up somewhere. God is careful to give us all his word. Now listen to what it says here. I want you to watch this down through this chapter. Of course, I need to get in the right chapter. I'm not even there yet. I'm ready to read it, and I'm not even looking at it. Okay, look at we'll start in verse 1 just to get the context, and then we'll go on. And it came to pass, in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Joash, king of Judah, that this word came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, okay, so that sets the tone where we are. Take thee a roll of a book, and write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel, and against Judah, and against all the nations, from the day that I spake unto thee, from the days of Joash, even unto this day. So how many of the words did it say he was supposed to record down?
All
of the words, okay? Now, just so we get God's picture of this. Now, you and I, as we're studying the Word of God, we are reminded continuously that when God says something once, it's important. If he says it twice, he's really hitting it home. If he says it three times, he's basically yelling it. This is, 12 different times he says this in this chapter. All right, look if you would to verse 4. Then Jeremiah called Baruch, the son of Neriah, and Baruch wrote from the mouth of Jeremiah, how many of the words of the Lord? All the words of the Lord. Verse 11, down at the end there. And I heard the book, all the words of the Lord. Verse 13. And Micaiah declared unto them all the words that he had heard when Baruch read the book in the ears of the people. Verse 16, we will surely tell all of these words. You get the idea? 18, yep, 18, all, 20, all, 24, all, 28, all, 32, all. God is very clear in this chapter that when he is telling Jeremiah to write these things down in a scroll, okay, take the roll, you didn't have leafed books like we do now, that he says, I want you to write all of these words down, which tells me God is interested in us having all of the words that he wants us to have. Okay, we could spend a lot of time on this, I'm not going to, but the book of Revelation says do not add or remove from the book. That, God is very careful to make sure that all, but I want it to be clear that this is not something where God is just speaking these words to give us an idea of what he wants us to understand. Every single one of the words that God dictated to Jeremiah, he wanted Jeremiah to record. You with me so far? Because this is important. This is something that we as a church stand on, and other like faith churches that we associate with stand on, that it's not some of these words that are important. How many of them are important? All of them. There are those who are in Christian circles who will say that this book contains the Word of God, which means some of it's the Word of God, but some of it's not. You get it, you step back into that position, you might as well throw the entire book in the trash, because then who chooses which words are actually God's words and which words are not? Well, some of it's God's Word. Well, who chooses which part is and which part isn't? The part we don't understand, that's not God's Word because we can't understand it, but the parts we like, because that's what's happening in our world today. Well, you know, the God of love and the God of mercy and the God of care and comfort, that's God's Word. The God of sin and the God of judgment and the God of hell, we don't believe that. That's not God's Word, because that's not the kind of God that we think that God is. And see, there's the danger. When we begin to reason out what God is, didn't we establish the idea right from the beginning that our thoughts are not His thoughts? It's His wisdom, not our wisdom. So just because, and I want to be cautious, because even in politics right now, people are quoting the Word of God and using their reasoning about what Jesus would do or what God's Word is or what Christianity should be, because they're trying to put it together and what we as mankind think that God meant when He said that. Guys, all of His words are important to God. And He gave us every one of those words purposefully. This book is the very words of God. You know, when we did the study on Revelation, we're doing that one right now. When we did the study on Leviticus, when you compare the end of the book and the beginning of the book, it was a one-month period that God dictated to Moses everything He wanted to have in that book. As a matter of fact, I think it's more than 90% of the book of Leviticus was, "Thus saith the Lord." And Moses is just sitting there writing down exactly what God said. Okay, He spoke it to Moses, and Moses wrote it right down. Okay, we have to understand that God wanted us to have all of the words that He wanted us to have. Are you with me so far? Because this is important. There's nothing in this book that is here accidentally that's filler. Every one of the words God measured purposefully to say to us. Okay? Number two, God's spoken words become God's written words. Okay? And we just made reference to it about Leviticus, that He spoke the majority of that book to God's word. Look, if you would, to verse 4 again. Jeremiah called Baruch, the son of Neriah, and Baruch wrote from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the Lord. So Baruch is writing down the words that Jeremiah is speaking, that Jeremiah is hearing directly from God. It is something over and over. You know how many times we have said that Jesus, the living Word, and this is the written Word. What did they call Jesus? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That was not accidental. Okay, God over and over is reminding us that the words He has spoken are the words that He wants written. Okay, I want this to be understood. So all of His words are important, and it is words that He has specifically spoken. You ever do that as a parent? Some of us still have children here that we can utilize this example. And we say, "No, what did I say?" "Well, you said this." "That is not what I said. What did I say?" "I said you need to take out the trash." "Oh, wait a minute. How do we do that in the, it's not take the trash out. What is it?" "Come on. Is it swap the dump?" Or I can't remember how you said it. It made me laugh. It was like, The way he worded it that one day was like, "Move it from one trash can to the other trash can. Change the trash." That's what it is. He had to change the trash. I couldn't remember what he said. Nice hat, by the way. Okay. So yeah, we were talking, Andrew and I were talking one day, and so, you know, some families, it's take out the dump, and in his, he said, I had to change the trash. I'm like, well, you had to put different trash in the different cans, you know. We don't take it out, we just change it, you know, move it around. But you say to your children, what did I say? What were my words? No, that is not what I said. So not only did God give us all he wanted us to know, but he literally spoke these words, and he expects us to be concerned about what he said. Okay, so here, Jeremiah is hearing the words of God, and he's dictating them to Baruch, who is, every time I hear that Baruch, I keep thinking of Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. So it's not the same Baruch. I might even be saying it wrong. It's probably Baruch or something. Anyway, pronunciation, but Baruch. Anyway, so 2 Timothy 3:16. We know the verse. I'll just share that. You know what it says? How much scripture is given by inspiration of God? All scripture is given by inspiration of God. But what an interesting verse here, and this is another one that we know, but I want our brains to wrap around this. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 21. We know the verse very well, but there's a word in here that sometimes we just blow right past when we're reading it. start in verse 20. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. We're in 2 Peter chapter 1, now verse 21. For the prophecy came not in old times by the will of man. So stop there for a minute. 2 Timothy 1, now verse 21. Second Peter. I said 2 Timothy just now, mistaken. 2 Peter. Okay. Yeah, come on. Hezekiah chapter 5. Okay. All right, there is no Hezekiah, by the way. Okay. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. So it says, for the prophecy came not in old times by the will of man. So we know that it had nothing to do with man, the word of God. Okay, it did not come by the will of man, but by the will of God. But look at this. But holy men of God wrote as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Is that what it says? Spake. Okay, sometimes we blow right past that and make you see that, like, you know, wasn't by their will, but holy man of God wrote it down as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. It's not what it says. It was a spoken word. God's spoken word becomes his written word. And holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. This is how God is describing how his word was formulated. God wanted us to have all of his words. Okay, not every word that he would ever speak, but every word that he wanted in his book went in the book. He didn't miss any. Okay, and he spoke these words to God, and those men of God spoke those words into his into the book. Okay, and that's very interesting to me, because we can do a whole other study on the side, that what is the intent of this book? Is it something that we just take home and we read? Interestingly enough, so often it's approached as something we should speak, not just something we should read. Now I'll ask you, and I know the answer in my own heart, you may have a great reading habit in the Bible and be disciplined to do devotions, which is great, and I'm so thankful for that, but how often do you and I speak the word that we're reading? That's a little different, isn't it? It's easy to pick up the book when you're on your comfy couch all by yourself and spend some time with you alone with the word. But how often do we take the actual spoken words of God and speak them to someone else? Okay? A holy man of God moved. They spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Not just wrote, not just read, but spoke. Okay? And what did they speak? Interestingly enough, did you catch how Baruch, wrote the word of God? He had the scroll, he had the book, and the words that Jeremiah heard, he said out loud the exact words, and Baruch wrote those exact words down. Now, I put a kind of word in there and wanted us to understand the exact words, right? Andrew, what did I say? Take that hat off. No. He looks like he's like a late 80s band guy or something. That's exactly. The Blues Brothers, or what's the guy who plays the harmonica? The Traveler. Yep, there's a guy who's famous for playing the harmonica now. He has a band. Yeah, give him take the glasses off and he would be old Blue Eyes. There we go. Oh, crooner. Anyway, this is being recorded. I need to stay on point. Okay, but we say to our children, we speak the exact words that we want. Okay, that's exactly what God did, the exact words. Number three. God wants man to have the book that he can hold in his hand. Okay, right here in this chapter, look if you would, verse 14. And there's several other places where it says it, but this one is it most clearly. And all the princes set Jehudi, the son of Nethaniah, the son of Shelemiah, the son of Cushi, unto Barak, take in thy hand the roll that thou read in the ears of the people, and come. So Baruch, the son of Neriah, took the roll in his hand and came unto them. God desires his people to have something in their hand that they can read. The guys who are on Wednesday night, we're studying the history of the church through Revelation. We understand that one of the ploys of the devil was to keep the actual written word of God out of people's hands, to give it to only the elite few, that doctrine of the Nicolaitans, that where we are the clergy, we can understand it, don't bother trying to read it because it's not for you. I thank the word, the Lord, that he says that he giveth wisdom unto the simple through his word. Amen. His word gives wisdom to the simple. We have in our hand how much of the word of God? All. And was it God's word or was it somebody else's words? It was God's spoken word. And we have it right in our hand. Okay, that's how important this is. That's how God has put this book together. Okay. Now, interestingly enough, I just asked a sort of a trick question. So whose words are we looking at in chapter 36, just for the picture? Baruch wrote whose words down? Jeremiah's words down. But whose words were they really?
God's.
Right. And see, there's a key to understanding the way God has used people to write his book. Is it's God's words, but it's written down through a person. So isn't it actually both? Because Baruch wasn't hearing directly God's voice. Baruch was hearing Jeremiah's voice, who was writing the words down. So, yes, and there's the key. And that's very important. So we're understanding that all these words, all these spoken words, were spoken, and God used them, and they were written. And now we have a Bible in our hand because that's what's something that God desires. So we're getting this idea that this book that we have, the Word of God, is something that he has designed that you and I, every single one of us, can hold in our hand. Man, I don't tell you, it was pretty amazing. Now, not going to read the whole story, but he reads the book, reads it to the people, reads it to the princes, and then the king gets a hold of it. He hears about it, and he reads it to the king, and the king and some of the king's cabinet get upset with it and decide to throw it in the fireplace and burn it. Okay, so now I don't know about you. That's kind of, well, wait a minute. You know, not only just thinking, as Baruch, I'd have been pretty upset. You know, I sat down with the man of God there, his prophet, and wrote those words so carefully. What are you doing burning that thing up, you know? And knowing that, okay, this is the words of God that God wanted us to have. And then, of course, Jeremiah, I wonder how he was dealing with it. Like, the Lord commanded me to do this so that the people can hear this word, and now the king burned it, and what are we going to do? We'll get there, but I want us to see what the story is going on here. So number four, God wants us to use his words for us to share them. Okay, several times, you go ahead and read it yourself, because I'm not going to read the whole thing, but verse 10, then read Baruch in the book of the words of Jeremiah in the house of the Lord, in the chamber of that fellow, the son of that fellow, the scribes, in the higher court, at the entry of the new gate of the Lord's house, in the ears of how many? All of the people. So again, this isn't one of those things where I've never been a real writer on a book of books, I've thought about it, but where all of a sudden the book is done and we put it on the shelf and we are proud that we have a book on the shelf. Okay, and how many times have we talked down through the generations, and I don't know anymore today because we're in a different world, but I know when I was growing up, the old phrase was everybody has at least one Bible in their house. But it's probably stuck on a shelf somewhere covered with dust because it's never been picked up and read. Understand, God had a purpose for this book. It was read, but not just read in private. Baruch got up and read it in front of all the people. That's God's purpose for it. It's not a book that you know, the next Tom Clancy novel that you're reading through, and when you're done with it, you put it on your shelf and it sits there, and maybe someday later on you may want to read it again. It is something that should be read to others. Look at verse 15 and 16. And when they said unto him, sit down now and read it in our ears. So Baruch read it in their ears. And now it came to pass when they had heard all the words that were in, they were afraid one and another, and said unto Baruch, we will surely tell the king of all these words. Boy, there's a lot there we can talk about, that you get a hold of God's word and start sharing it with people, and people get a little fear of the Lord in them, and then they start sharing the words that they heard. Catches on like a wildfire. But the key is, I wonder what would have happened if Baruch just decided, nah, Jeremiah dictated the book to me. I finished it and put it on the shelf where all the rest of the books go. No, Baruch was out reading this book to whoever would listen. I wonder if that's what you and I do with God's word. Reading his book. Because that's the purpose. It's something that should be read. How many times have we seen, and again, if we had a lot of time this morning, I'd have gone verse hopping, but where it talks about the children of Israel standing and hearing the prophets reading his word. That, and Isaiah stood before the people and opened the book and read and read and read. And so often the word of God was read in front of people because that's the kind of book this is. Sometimes we get convinced, and people, even in Christian circles, are trying to quantify this book down to a history book or a counseling book or a, philosophy, where I read it now and then, but I put it away. It's not a self-help book. It's a world help book. It's not just for me. When I read it, it's something I should take and use it with others. Okay, now keep that in mind because this is all going to play into a little bit when we get into morning service here. Last little bit. You know what? God knows how to preserve his word. Do you think if God shared the word with Jeremiah once, he could share it with him again? That's why you and I believe that this book that we have is actually his words down through the ages. Because, you know, if God can have men write the word of God and have it be perfect, all his words, don't you think he can have them rewrite the word of God and have it be perfect in all his words? Look at what it says here. Verse... Oh, yeah. Yep. So, it got burned in the fire. Look at verse 32. Then Jeremiah took another roll and gave it to Baruch, the scribe, the son of Neriah, who wrote therein from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the book which Jehoiakim the king had burned in the fire. Now, I think that's pretty cool. Now, how many of the words?
All.
So, Jeremiah said the words to Baruch. Baruch wrote them down. He took it. He read it to the people. He read it to the princes. He read it to the king. King wasn't happy. Threw that book in the fire and burned up. And Jeremiah and Baruch sit back down and write all the words of God again that God had spoken. Didn't miss any of them. As a matter of fact, he puts a little side note here to remind us about further writings of God's word. So not only did he rewrite that whole book exactly the way it was written the first time, and it said, and there were added besides unto them many other words. Meaning, they rewrote that whole book, and then they wrote a bunch of other stuff that God had spoken. Okay, you wonder what our Bible is about? This is a real cute, I don't want to say cute, but it's very concise on understanding how God did this. He wanted man to have all of God's word. He wanted to understand that it is his words that he spake, that he moved men of God to speak. That's why we have the word of God. He wanted us to understand that he did it so that you and I can have a copy of it in our hand. Okay, not just something that's passed down and people might change it now and then and put their own ideas in it and do all that. He wanted us to understand that it's something that you don't just read, it's something that we should be speaking to others. And he wanted us to understand that it is something that he can make another copy of if he wanted to. And that's why, guys, when we talk about the Word of God and the book says that there's a copy of this book in heaven today, when we get up there, we're going to find that the exact same words that he spoke to Jeremiah, we're not going to go up there and go, well, the things you spoke to Jeremiah, this is a day. God could take anything burned in the fire and rewrite it. Why? Because he's got the original. Okay, and so something very important, and I wanted us to just see this and understand that you and I were going to talk about having that mind of Christ and understanding the things that God wants us to understand. We do never have to hesitate when it comes to God's word because it is all of the very words that he had spoken that he wants us to have and use. Okay, and don't, I'll tell you, for 300 years, from about, from about 1611 to about right in the turn of the century in 1900, we had one copy of the Word of God, and God used it throughout the Word of God. Only just within the last 100 years or so has it gone crazy where people are saying we can make a better copy of the book. Okay, don't fall into the idea that God couldn't handle putting it into his words down through the years. He could. We as men and women don't have to go back and go, well, we could say that a better way. Well, according to my Bible, my words are not his words. My thoughts are not his thoughts. I'm not supposed to reason out what God said. I'm just supposed to take it and believe it. Okay, Jim, you can say something. Yep. Yep. Yeah, that's another great example of it because, you know, here Moses, I know, as it's laid out, they think, you know, they talk about written with the very finger of God. I don't really know if God etched those things on there like they try to make you believe in the movie, because it talks about Moses writing the Ten Commandments. He wrote them, and he went out and got another copy, and they were the same as the first ones. So as God spake the Ten Commandments to the Lord, and that's the same thing we talked about with Moses at the door of the tabernacle for a month with the book of Leviticus, that he's got the scroll open with a pen going, all right, Lord, what are we going to write down today? And for a month, he dictates to Moses what to write. And Moses writes down the very words of God. Okay, and then Moses got up and spoke them to the people. That's the idea. That's why we have this book. It is exactly what God wanted us to say. It is not just his word. It is his words. Okay, the words that God spoke. Now, take them and speak them to other people. Okay? And I love the fact, and praise God, that we spend time reading it and doing personal devotions, but that's only half of what we should be doing with it. We should be taking it and then speaking it to other folks. Amen? All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word again. I thank you for the amazing thing that you did with your book. Lord, we have the words that you wanted to speak, not just ideas, not just concepts, but Lord, you dictated your thoughts. And I'm thankful for that because I've read a bunch of it, and I would have probably written it differently. There are some ideas I would have changed to fit what I think. I thank the Lord that it is what you wanted us to hear. And Lord, even though sometimes it's not easy to hear, sometimes it's not easy to understand, Father, there's a purpose behind that. It's not supposed to be a Reader's Digest version, easy to digest. Sometimes there's things about you that are hard to put into words, and we need to work at understanding it. And so, Father, for those who are in our Christian friend circles and those who struggle with that idea, Lord, we don't need to find the easiest version. Father, we need to put our mind to line up with your mind. Lord, if we're not getting it, it's maybe because we're not asking you to help us understand it. We don't need to dumb it down to our level. We need to try to bring our minds up to your level that we're going to look at this morning in a few minutes about that mind of Christ that we can have. Lord, that we ought to be putting it on. We ought to be thinking with it. So, Father, thank you so much for your word and what you've done down through the years to keep it preserved. Even a copy that's burned in the fire can be made again because, Lord, you've got the original. Father, thank you so much in Jesus' name. Amen.